Good morning. It's good to be here with you all. Christian greetings from Living Hope Christian Fellowship. Brother John, it was good to hear of your trip there. In many ways, I look forward to being 60 years old and more resilient. Air travel and losing sleep and still in church on time. Sunday morning. Wow. I am very excited for what God is doing in Africa and thank God for faithful men and women who are serving there. Thank you also, Brother Heinrich, for that devotional. The most quoted book in the New Testament is Deuteronomy. The most quoted book in the whole New Testament is the book of Deuteronomy. And there's a lot in that book. I appreciated that, those thoughts on not forgetting. Title of my message this morning is The Power of Kindness, Empathy, and Compassion. The power of kindness, empathy, and compassion. You know, we live in a time when I believe we are seeing an increasing self-centered society. The culture is becoming more and more rude, self-seeking, absorbed in themselves. I have a Ukrainian friend who moved here from Ukraine. They have two children. And he said this. He said, my children don't need me. They don't need God. And I asked him, I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, both husband and wife are working. They're making each six-digit number of income. And they just don't need, they're not interested in God anymore. They're not interested in spending time with me. It's about vocation. It's a self-seeking American dream that they're pursuing. How sad. From Ukraine to America, and then you get so absorbed in a life that doesn't count. I've got myself in trouble already mentioning names here in the pulpit. And so this morning I'm going to use animals instead of people. I'm curious if you would take a guess. What do you think is the most friendly and the most kind animal on planet Earth? What do you think that would be? Friendly.
Not a cat.
It's not a cat and it's not a dog.
Dolphin?
Okay, that's pretty close, but it's not what is rating number one.
Elephant?
they're big, but yeah. No, it's not an elephant.
Manatee.
What was that?
Manatee.
Wow, I don't even know what the animal is. What is a manatee?
Yes.
What is that?
It's supposedly a friendly creature that lives in the water.
Huh. That's interesting. From what I've found, it's an orangutan. They're a huge ape. They're a huge ape that live in Malaysia and parts of Indonesia. Now, here's the interesting thing about the orangutans. Their young spend 7 years nursing from their mother. And they learn a lot of things about living in the jungles. Imagine Imagine the bond there from that mother ape, 7 years nursing their baby. They actually live to be almost 70 years old. They live a long time. This is what the evolutionists like about the story is they say that 97% of their DNA is the same as the human.
They're also 50% banana, I heard.
So they have one baby every 8 or 9 years, but they're very affectionate, they're very caring, a lot of empathy from these orangutans. They're very, very bonding creatures. Another one is one that you don't think about, and it's if you want to do something that's better since the dog market has crashed, is maybe you should buy capybaras. Capybara is an animal down in the South America. And again, a very, very gentle animal. They're considered probably one of the friendliest animals. They're very docile. They'll give birds rides. They'll give monkeys rides on their back. They're just everybody's friend. Well, that's the animal kingdom. That is what it is. I'm not going to build a doctrine on animals, but I just like to think about the power that we as Christians could be to the world if we would learn to be caring, loving, kind, and compassionate. Let's look real quickly at the dictionary definition of those three words: kindness, empathy, and compassion. Kindness is the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. The quality of being friendly, generous, or considerate. It's something like maybe picking up the trash, even though it's not yours. Baking someone some cookies, just randomly. Opening doors for people, smiling at people, giving handshakes to people. The quality of being friendly, generous, or considerate. Empathy. The ability to understand and share the feelings of others. Show interest. Be encouraging. Be supportive. Empathy has the feeling where you feel someone's pain. And they say that if you still have your wife, you have a harder time showing empathy with someone who lost their wife, because in many ways you can't feel the pain. You can sympathize, but it's harder to empathize. You feel their pain. There's an emotional thing that's going on. Compassionate. Dictionary definition of compassion is feeling or showing sympathy and concern for others. Feeling or showing sympathy and concern for others. Like I said, empathy is more feeling the pain. Compassion is taking the concern. A compassionate person tolerates the uncomfortable situation. Compassion helps us mend relationships. It desires all people to be free from suffering. Compassion helps us mend relationships. The last time I was here, I taught on Matthew chapter 18. And it was just in an exegetical message on Matthew 18, how we should deal with problems and what Jesus' motto is for that. Brother Neil said I should preach the sequel to that on forgiving, about forgiving each other. Well, if you are compassionate, you know, you will forgive people. Okay, so a few scripture verses. Proverbs 21, verse 21 says, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life and honor. Ephesians 4, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. As Christians, should we be kind to people because they are kind to us? Should we only be kind to people because they are kind to us? You know that answer, I'm sure. I think we should consider that Christ died for us while we were still in our sin. And it's really hard. Traffic rage today is a big problem. We can be the nicest people, but then someone cuts us off in traffic. And what do we want? What are we tempted to do? Give them the horn? Or it's just human nature in us is not to be nice to those who are not nice to us. My wife and I have been talking more about kindness recently in our home, and we really see the need of crawling up a few rungs in that ladder. Because kindness is a very contagious cycle. And when you show kindness to someone, you reap kindness back. In 1991, there was a saying that became popular called R, Random Act of Kindness, RAK, I think they called it. Practice random acts of kindness. And there was a woman who saw this on an index card on someone's refrigerator and thought, well, that is interesting. And so she practiced some random acts of kindness. And this thing just rippled on and on. And it became popular. There was some commercials on TV shows, and some people painted it on the side of their building. Some people made bumper stickers. And in lots of different ways, it works when people practice random acts of kindness. But, you know, we don't just do it randomly as Christians. This should be our lifestyle. Every day we should learn to be more kind. I witnessed something yesterday that I thought was interesting. We were mulching at a commercial complex because it's Saturdays and the businesses are closed. But on this complex, there's a salt and pepper pizza place. And I told the boys, you know, when we're at lunchtime, we'll have pizza and fries. And we ordered our pizza, and we're there eating at our booth. And right beside us is another booth of people, Christians. And the waitress was an Italian lady. This is an Italian family who owns this salt and pepper restaurant. And the waitress comes to their booth, and they ask the waitress where she's from, what town in Italy, and she said she had a heavy accent. And the next time she comes, they just randomly ask her if she has a personal relationship with Jesus. And I could see on the waitress, she's like kind of befuddled, like, what? What kind of interesting question. And so she responded by saying, well, I'm a Catholic. And they asked the question again, well, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? And she said, well, I'm Catholic. What does that mean, a personal relationship with Jesus? And so they gave their long spiel of, you know, it means that you pray to Jesus and you believe in him and you kind of a canned answer. And she wasn't really interested, but she, well, okay, and she walked away. And I could see that it meant absolutely nothing to her. Now, I want to be clear. The questions were all okay. But connect that with some kindness. Connect that with some quality or some compassion or something else. It goes much, much deeper. So I'd like to look at three areas this morning. So this is not just an abstract thought. I'd like to look at three areas of kindness. The reason that we are kind, the motivation to being kind, and then the action of kindness. Maybe before we do that, could we all bow our heads and ask the Lord's wisdom? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for being instructed already in your word. And we pray, Lord, you would help us. You would open up our hearts and our eyes and our ears of understanding so we could see who we ought to be as your people in our journey that we have, so that we would not be the forgetful hearers, that we would remember to be like Christ, to be the hands and feet of Christ. Bless these people here gathered together in Jesus' name. Amen. So the reason for kindness is Jesus. And think about Jesus this morning with me. As busy as he was, did Jesus ever turn people away? Did Jesus ever not have time to show some kindness to people? It didn't matter if it was a harlot at the well. It didn't matter if it was the cheater that was sitting up in the tree, or the shy woman who could not get herself to speak to him but just touched his clothing. At the end of the day, of a long day of teaching, he still had time to feed 5,000 people. Jesus was busy, like we are busy. He was a busy man. But he had time for the blind, he had time for the deaf, and he never turned anyone away. We don't read of any account where Jesus said, stop coming with all your petty little concerns. He even had time for the little children. When the disciples said, don't bother this man. Can't you see he's busy? He had time. He rebuked them and said, allow the children to come. Allow the children to come unto me. I believe Jesus lived in Lebanon County, Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a busy place. There was a lot of hustle and bustle. It's a big city, a lot of things going on. But Jesus had the time to show kindness. He was never too busy. Our Jesus is our example. And so the reason to be kind is because of Jesus. He demonstrated it. He commanded it. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, he says, whatsoever you would that others do to you, do it also to them. Why? This is the law and prophets. On this hangs the whole law and the prophets. Whatever that we would want other people to do to us, however we want to be treated, we should do it to them. John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. Is that our life? Are we those kind, tender-hearted people? Do your neighbors, do your co-workers see you that way? That's a challenge. So the reason for kindness is love. How about the motivation for kindness? Or the reason for kindness is Jesus. The motivation for kindness is love. Love is patient. Love is kind. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. You know those verses by memory. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. I actually believe for us to define love, we have to be able to define kindness. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 6, verse 35 and 36. In my Bible, this is red. This is Jesus talking. But love ye your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father in heaven is merciful. Love your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. I've farmed for a number of years, and I, in my earlier days, I was fairly poor. My wife doesn't like to say when I say that, you know, we were poor, but money was just, so you had all the bills paid, there was nothing left over, and sometimes there was not even enough to pay all the bills. And I remember one time I went to my neighbor to borrow his gravity wagon. I don't know how far you're removed from farming, but a gravity wagon is a gravity wagon. It funnels everything down to a little hopper. It's designed that way. You don't have to go inside and shovel it out like a flat wagon would. And so I don't remember why I needed a gravity wagon. I think I had a roaster coming. We wanted to roast soybeans into a gravity wagon. So I went to my neighbor and asked if I could borrow his gravity wagon. And he took me to the equipment shed, and he helped me hook it up. And then he said this. He said, "I don't mean to be a jerk, but why can't you get your own? Do you think I rented or lended from him again?" This is a professing Christian, Lancaster Conference Christian. Jesus said, and I thought of these words, and I just vowed in my heart that day, I will never forbid people to borrow things as a Christian. And I just encourage all of you, do your check in your own heart. If you own things that you're not willing to lend out, we are violating clear commands that Jesus has given us. Or lend them out and then say, I don't want to be a jerk, but the motivation for kindness is love. We're told to love our enemies. How easy is that to do? How easy is it to show kindness to people who are not kind to you? As we saw in this passage, God is kind to the good and the evil. And we should be too. Kindness is something that we give to people even though they don't deserve it. It's much more than doing good to people that we care, because even unbelievers do that. Anybody can show kindness to people who are nice to them. But we're told to do it to the good and the evil. We're told to love our enemies. This message wasn't easy for me, because this is an area where I'm growing in. And I remembered when I was in grade school of situations that came up where people weren't kind to me. And, you know, it's not a good feeling when somebody is not kind to us. It's not a gushy feeling to go and be kind back to someone who's not kind to you. But it is the power of the Holy Spirit in us that helps us. The question is your kindness motivated by love? Is what you're doing, the motivation that you have to do good things, to be kind to people, is that motivated by love? So the reason for kindness is Jesus. The motivation for kindness is love. Now let's look at the third one, the action of kindness. The action of kindness. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. We'll read Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Reads, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy." It's kind of archaic there. That word bowels means tender mercies. "Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." It's pretty straightforward, right? Paul is writing this letter to the Colossae church, and he's saying, put on. Now, all of us know what it is to put on clothes. We take off dirty clothes, we put on clean clothes. We know that. That's an action word. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, tender mercies, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long suffering. He's saying we need to put this on. This is not something that just randomly happens to us, but we need to do something about this. Forgiving one another. "And if any man have a quarrel, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Now, I'd like to say this. I believe that if you put these things on, your relationships here on earth will thrive. I don't believe there is much more that you could do if you want good relationships than to be a kind person. It will affect the quality of your life, the quality of your friendships, maybe even the amount of friends you have. I was talking to a doctor in the DNA department just this week. And he's from California. He works, well, his company is actually making new DNA equipment. And they test human DNAs is what they're trying to be able to improve. And it's used for mass casualties, and it's used for criminal records. And as we were talking about it, I found it fascinating. I asked him, "Sir, are you making advancement in this whole DNA testing?" He said, "Phenomenal advancements." He said, "Now all we need is a sliver of someone's bone, and we can trace their DNA." They are still testing people from the World Trade Center. They're still finding pieces of bones that loved ones and family who lost a loved one there. But, I mean, was he in there or was he not? Well, I guess he's not around, so he must have been in. It's just a comfort for the family, for them to get a call and say, "We found a DNA that matches her cousin or her aunt. I believe this was her." Amazing. The other thing he said was interesting. In our country, there's more than 20 million criminals who have public DNA on record. At any time there's a crime, they can get the FBI involved and look for ways to find some things that they could do DNA, if it's blood or anything. Go on that database and find the DNA. And I said this, I said, "Wow, you just don't get away with anything anymore." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "It just makes you wonder why people don't want to just do something good with their life. Because you're going to get caught." So we're cornered in both ways. I mean, if we're not going to be kind, and we're going to live a life for ourselves, and we're going to get in trouble, we're going to get caught that way, and we're going to get caught with God. We really are cornered. The action of kindness is putting on these things. It's not about your personality. Don't tell me this morning that, "Well, my temperament is such, and therefore I'm just not really going to be ever a kind person." It doesn't matter what your personality is or what you say your temperament is. You can put on kindness. Pursue it diligently. We're okay with random acts of kindness, but I like to hold up a lifestyle of kindness. What would happen with this church if all of you would become just a little more kind to each other? What would happen with this community if all of you would just be a little more kind to your neighbors or at your workplace? A lifestyle of kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, and it's something we grow in. It's not something we were born with. You can just watch these babies that I heard crying this morning. You have a lot of them, praise the Lord. But they are not born with being compassionate or being kind. If somebody cheats them, they're going to do exactly what the flesh wants to do. It's something that we should do regularly, and it's something that marks us as a follower of Jesus Christ. It's not a program. It's not a pep talk that I'd like to give you this morning. It is the Bible. Jesus taught this. Jesus demonstrated this. (Clears throat) Let's don't confuse kindness with niceness. And to bring a little bit of a balance to this, I'd like to give one balancing factor. People are confusing kindness and niceness with you don't ever want to say things that hurt people. I actually remember as a little Amish boy growing up, when I first realized that if you ask somebody how you're doing, they say, oh, I'm good, that it's just a cliche. The people will actually say, oh, I'm doing good, when they're not doing well at all. And I remember how I felt. I was like, that is plain down lying. Like, why would you say, just to be nice, oh, I'm good, hi, how are you, oh, I'm good, thank you. Now, I didn't grow up that way. That was just not in my culture. That was not, you didn't ask each other that. And so you didn't tempt each other to lie. But let me illustrate this kindness, or let me bring a balancing factor. That does not mean that we do not speak into each other's lives. And I don't want to be misunderstood that we should just be going around and telling each other nice things and never admonish one another. I don't think that's kind. Proverbs says that faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. If we really love each other, we will also speak to each other. If I'm not being nice or kind, I appreciate it when my wife tells me that. Let's suppose that I would go to a doctor because maybe I'd have a tumor growing on my body somewhere. And so the doctor orders an MRI. Fascinating technology. The doctor says, come back at such and such a date, and we will discuss what we found in the MRI. What if the doctor would, when I come back, would say, you know what? I know this man, he's in the community, he has a family, and he's Amish, and he works hard, and he probably has a hard life, and whatever, and so I don't want to say anything to him that's going to make him sad. Or I don't want to say anything that would not even be kind. And so when I go back to the visit, he says, everything is okay with your tumor. Just be happy and don't worry about anything. It'll be okay. When he knows that it's malignant cancer and it's going to kill me. He knows it's a tumor, and if he doesn't cut it out, it's going to spread fast and it's going to kill me. Would that be kind? Not at all. Everything is not fine. If he would be kind, I think he would say, Amos, sir, I know that this is hard for you to hear, but you have this type of cancer. And I'm very, very concerned about this cancer, and I want to schedule surgery as soon as possible. I know this is scary for you and your wife, and you know there's actually only a certain percentage of people that have recovered from this cancer. Kindness is sometimes painful. Kindness sometimes hurts us. The truth about us hurts sometimes. But we need to be willing to change. David said in Psalm 141, let the righteous smite me, it shall be kindness. Let him reprove me, it shall be excellent oil, which shall not break my head. And so, allow me to be clear. I don't want to paint the wrong picture about bringing correction, bringing admonishment, pointing out error in each other's lives is not unkind. But let's do it. Let's do it humbly. Let's be brave like the doctors need to be when they need to tell their patient the truth. But let's do it very humble or humbly. Christian kindness is not artificial. It is real. Matthew chapter 8 is an interesting account. The man with leprosy. I just like to point out what Jesus did here. Considering the man had leprosy, considering that it was the most dreaded disease of their day, maybe like our HIV, what people call AIDS, just you don't want to, you know, if you contract it, there's no cure for it. That was leprosy. And this man comes to him and says, Lord, if you are willing, I know you could heal me. Now Jesus could have snapped his finger and said, okay, well, I can heal you. He could have said, you're healed. But he touched down. The Bible said he reached down and he touched the leper. He touched a man with leprosy. According to Leviticus, a person with leprosy had to walk around wearing torn clothes. They had to have unkempt hair. The lower part of their face was supposed to be covered. And they were supposed to say unclean. It was their responsibility to let the people know that we have leprosy. They had to live in isolated camps to sleep. I mean, they were allowed to wander out of those, but they're always supposed to be in a distance. Quite a rejected group of people, if you really think about it. Imagine contracting leprosy and watching those nerve endings just kill off more and more of your members. It was a painful disease, but Jesus touched the man who had leprosy. In conclusion, I have one question. What are you going to do in the next week or in this year with the rejected, the unloved people? In what ways are you going to show your neighbors that you care about them? In what ways are you going to, as a church, love each other more deeply and be kind to each other, be compassionate to each other? Kindness, empathy, and compassion, as God's chosen people, is the most powerful way that you're going to show Christ to the world. And why do I say that? It's because we have been a recipient of that. Back in 2001, my wife and I were invited to a couples night. We never were at a couples night. We never were at any kind of a marriage enrichment seminar. But as we looked at the agenda and thought about that, and the people who invited us, we thought, "Oh, we want to go to that. That sounds like interesting, something good." And so we went to a couples night, and it was there at the couples night that there was an ex-Hutterite couple right across the table from us, and she was sharing with us their journey. And she told us how her mother had to renounce her new birth or leave the Hutterite colony. And I was just aghast almost. I thought, like, how could this be? That a Hutterite colony would ask someone to renounce the new birth. To me, I thought they didn't like the fact that her mother was baptized. Because the new birth to me was you received the sprinkling of the water and now you're born again. Jesus said, you know, he is born of water and spirit. I'm not able to finish that there. Anyway, it connected, in my mind, that connected that she was not allowed to have a baptism. So I asked Tanya, I said, so are you saying the Hutterites don't believe in being baptized? And she said, oh, well, being baptized does not mean you're born again. And I thought, wow, I don't understand something. So I asked her, I said, what do you mean by being born again? How are you born again? And she looked at me straight in the eye and she said, oh, it's when you love God and you love people and you just love, love, love. Okay, well, I guess I thought it's when you're baptized. Well, there was a Catholic couple, an ex-Catholic couple who were both in the Air Force, who had come out of the Air Force at the same table, Jay and Katie Johnson. And the next week they stopped by and they said, hey, we're asked to go through this Bible study called Firm Foundations before Charity Christian Fellowship sends us to the mission field. Would you be interested in going through this with us? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, you know, we have never done something like that, but let me talk to my wife and we'll get back to you. We agreed to go through the book with them. And in the course of that 6 months, from March to September, was an interesting journey. You know, this couple knew how to love with shoes on. They would call and say, hey, we're at Walmart. Is there anything you need? And I remember one time my wife said, you know what? We don't have a little potty seat where the little children, you put it on a big pot to train the little children. And so they got us one. And then I tried to pay them and said, oh, no, it's covered. We were touched by their kindness as much as what they said. And it attracted us to Jesus. And so my question is, to all of you, is, what about your testimony? Is it just words? Is it just, do you have a relationship with Jesus and then giving them some canned answer and trying to win an argument? Or are you compassionate? Do the people like what they see coming out of your life? Do the people like what they see in your children, in your family, in your marriage relationship? God bless you all. Let's stand together and pray. Father in heaven, in this self-seeking, rude, climbing up the ladder on being on top and people seeking their own interests, we pray this morning that you would help us to be the little Christ walking around. Father, we pray that you would help each one of us to, this next week, do acts of kindness. And as the Bible says, especially to those who are the household of faith. We consider, Lord, that you have told us in your word that God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We don't fool you, Lord, and we pray that you would help us to be more compassionate, to show more empathy, and to be kinder to those in our workplaces those in our families, in our churches, in our communities. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us where we failed to do that in the past, and help us to go forward from here. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you all.